Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 and Proverbs 21, verse 21. Proverbs 21, 21 and Matthew 5, verse 6. I want to look at just a simple thought on the pursuit of righteousness this evening from these two verses that we find in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Proverbs 21, verse 21, he said, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And this evening, nobody thinking right would argue the fact that we're living in a degenerating society. It's a society that is plagued with moral perversion, an alarming divorce rate, the escalation of violence, a lack of moral absolutes, little or no concern for spiritual things, and many other evils that would be too numerous to even begin to mention this evening. And even though as evil as these things are, we must not forget that they are the symptoms of a much greater problem. That problem not only plagues this nation, but the world as a whole. And that problem was what brought about the judgment of God in the Garden of Eden and in the days of Noah. It also brought about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That problem still exists today and is a small word that has brought about the decay of the world we know today. That little word being sin. And every evil that exists today is the result of sin. And we look around and we see sin that's rampant in this world today. As we go through each day, we hear all the news stories and the perversion and the things that's going on, the immorality and the things that's taking place in this world. And it's all because of that three-letter word, sin. That's the problem. And we're all prone to have sin in our life and not deal with it. And if we don't deal with it, the problem's just going to get larger. And we see this evening the solution to the problems that plague our society today can't be found in more government. The government don't have the answer for this thing. We don't have the answer this evening. More social programs don't have the answer for what's taking place. The solution is, I believe this evening, that men and women and boys and girls hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's not much hunger and thirst after righteousness anymore. I mean, people are not concerned about going to church. They're not concerned about a relationship with God. It don't seem like people are concerned about where they're going to spend eternity at the end of this life. But we see this evening that the solution is for men and women, people that are saved by the grace of God, to get a hunger and a thirst after righteousness this afternoon. So we see, number one, this evening in this matter of the pursuit of righteousness, we see a desired possession. The Bible speaks of two kinds of righteousness. Number one being self-righteous. Self-righteousness, and we know there's a lot of self-righteous people today, and we have to be careful with this thing or it'll get in our own lives. We'll get to thinking that we're better than someone else. Someone said if you're comparing yourself with someone else, you might be looking pretty good. Hey, but when you start comparing yourself to Jesus, then you'll see what we really are. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the Bible said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Romans 10 verse 1 through 3, the Bible said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, the Bible says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And every effort this evening made by fallen man to be righteous is rejected of God. There's a lot of people that's going about to establish their own righteousness. There are a lot of people trying to live by a code of ethics, to develop righteousness in their life, to be that kind of a neighbor that they think that they ought to be. Hey, but in the reality, it's just all boils down to self-righteousness. And then we see the second righteousness is the Savior's righteousness. And thank God for the Savior's righteousness in ourselves. Hey, we have no righteousness of our own selves. But Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, the Bible says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So we find that in looking at Abraham when he was justified, the Bible says over in Genesis chapter 15 there that said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It wasn't his keeping of the law. It wasn't of him doing good works. It wasn't of him. This was a time before he was even circumcised. It was because of his faith. Hey, because he had believed God and he did what God had told him to do. And I'm glad this evening that that's where we gain righteousness. And not by our own self-righteousness, the good works that we do. And I believe everybody ought to do some good works, don't you? Hey, I believe we ought to treat our neighbor right. I believe we ought to try to carry on the work of God in a way that would be pleasing to Him. There's a lot of people that goes out door knocking every Saturday, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Hey, they're trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to gain favor with God. Hey, but I'm glad that the Savior's righteousness at the end of this thing is all that's going to count in our lives. That imputed righteousness that's been given unto us. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 25, the Bible said, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we see there that the Savior's righteousness at the end of this thing is going to be all that counts. Now I think we ought to strive for righteousness. Well, to strive to live a righteous life. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you trusted Jesus? Hey, do you remember the peace that come over your heart when you placed your faith in what God has said to you and I to do? The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that salvation's easy this evening. I'm glad that it's easy to acquire the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart and He's speaking to an individual's heart, hey, I'm glad that when they exercise that faith in the Lord Jesus, they trust Him, they believe upon Him, and receive Him as their Savior and do what this Bible has said, hey, we get eternal life. Hey, we get that imparted righteousness that's given to us on account of what Jesus did. He was the only righteous one that ever really walked the face of this earth. He achieved all righteousness. And then when He went to the cross, He gave His life. He shed His blood, hey, that you and I might be able to be made righteousness in Him and through Him this afternoon. So we see here a desired possession here in this matter of righteousness. And then we see number two, a diligent pursuit. A diligent pursuit in our own life. Many today are prepared to seek spiritual things, spiritual maturity, real happiness, the Spirit's power, and effective witnessing skill. Other people run from preacher to preacher and meeting to meeting, hey, conference to conference, seeking some vague blessing from on high. Hey, some people are seeking through experience or excitement. Hey, without that excitement, they don't have nothing. I mean, they get down and out. They've got to be lifted up through that excitement and through some experience. They hunger for spiritual experience. They thirst for the consciousness of God. Hey, but how many people really hunger and thirst after righteousness this evening? Hey, that's what's going to count at the end of this thing. Someone once said, hey, of the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, it is not that he wants to be a little bit better, still less that he thinks of righteousness as an optional luxury to add to it. To his other graces, rather he hungers and thirsts for it. He cannot get along without righteousness. It is as important to him as food and drink. And we find that Paul stated there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. He told the Corinthians there were a lot of problems in that Corinthian church. Hey, those people had been saved by the grace of God. Hey, they had started out right, but there was a lot of problems there in the church as he was writing to the Corinthian believers. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And we see those that hunger for righteousness desire to be free from the power of sin this evening. I believe if a person is really saved, they trusted Christ as their Savior. Hey, I believe God works in their life. He gives them a desire, hey, to do right. I believe that every individual that's ever been saved ought to want to do right. They ought to want to live the best life that they can. Hey, they ought to want to live a life that would be pleasing to God. And they ought to want to have a desire to be free from the power of sin. And we know sin is present. Sin has to be dealt with. We know that we're carnal in this life and in this body that we live in. And we're going to always have to deal with sin. Hey, but there ought to be a desire in our life and in our heart this afternoon, hey, to be free from the power of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 23, hey, I believe that the Apostle Paul was a good man. I believe that Paul was as saved as anybody that ever walked the face of this earth. Hey, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, he was probably one of the greatest preachers that ever preached in this land, and God gave him the scriptures. He gave him the epistles for the church. Today, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Hey, but Paul still had a problem with sin, and he wrote that in chapter 6 of the book of Romans. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So Paul had a problem with sin. You and I have a problem with sin. Hey, there's this matter of reckoning ourselves to be dead unto sin. And he encourages the readers here, hey, to not to let sin dwell in your mortal body. So it's possible, hey, that we can live not a sinless life, hey, but we can live a life that's free from the power of sin. Hey, sin doesn't have to have control of us. I mean, we walk with the Lord on a daily basis. We get in his word. We learn more about how to deal with sin, how we're going to be confronted by sin, and how we're to get away from that sin, and it can so it won't have power over our body. Verse 13, he said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I've said this before, and I say it again. Hey, you're just as capable of anything that you were before you ever got saved. Hey, God saved your spirit, and he saved your soul. He's saving you on a daily basis. You're saved. You're being saved. And one of these days, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin, and we'll have a glorified body that we won't have to deal with sin anymore. But until then, hey, we're going to have to deal with sin. And we got to realize that we're still capable of any sin that we were before, because we still got the flesh. This flesh still desires to participate in sin. Paul said over in the book of Hebrews, hey, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Hey, you can get out and sin, and it's possible to enjoy it for a little while. Hey, but I don't think you can enjoy it very long. An individual that's truly saved and they've had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, he's forgiven them and they've become a part of that family. I don't think a person can continue on in sin for years and years and years, and no chastening ever come to that life and that individual. I don't think they can get away with it. God will deal with them. Hey, but long as you're in this flesh, we're going to have to battle sin. Hey, we're going to have to reckon ourselves to be dead. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have to let Jesus live in us. I mean, in our own selves, we'll fail. We'll falter, and we'll fall down flat trying to deal with this thing. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit that's in our heart and in our life to be able to deal with it, and a reckoning on a daily basis. He said, verse 14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see that we ought to desire to be free from the power of sin this evening. Hey, there ought to be a desire to be that individual that can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And I'm glad that we can be free from the power of sin this evening. Hey, if you're saved, you got a helper inside. The Holy Spirit came inside, and He's been called alongside to help us deal with these things as they arise in our life, and as sin tempts us in the thing. Not only we ought to have a desire to be free from the power of sin, hey, but we ought to have a desire to be free from the preference of sin. Verse Romans chapter 7. Paul tells about the struggle in chapter 6, and then he tells how to stay away from it, basically, in chapter 7, and how to deal with it. He said, "For that which I do, I allow not; for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that do I." This is tongue tires right here. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So we see Paul here was a man that desired to be set free from the preference of sin. And he makes it clear in this passage, I believe, hey, that although there was a part of him that desired to do right, there was still present within him, hey, that part that desired to sin. And he's teaching us here about the battle that rages between the carnal and the spiritual nature. And so we know that when you get saved, and you get saved, and boy, you're ready to go for God, and then the next thing you know, hey, that flesh flares up, and it begins to tempt, and that sin gets in there. And if you're not careful, if we don't get a hold of this thing, hey, the desire to be free from the preference of sin, that we want to do righteousness instead of unrighteousness and walk with God. I was reading something today, and I wrote it down. I think I wrote it right here. I thought I seen it a little bit ago. Let's see. Wrote it on a piece of paper, and I stuck it in my Bible. And I probably won't be able to find it. And I thought I seen it a while ago. Well, if I find it, I'll ring it. I'll read it. But we ought to desire to be free from the preference of sin, not having a desire just to live in sin and to be a part of that and enjoy the pleasures of sin, hey, but to realize that old man is still there, that we have to crucify him on a regular basis. But then not only a desire to be free from the preference of sin, but then also a desire to be free from the presence of sin. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness involves avoiding everything that is in the any way opposed to righteousness. And as we go through this life, we realize that we have to deal with that on a daily basis. Hey, that's why it's so important to read your Bible. That's why it's so important to have a relationship where we can get up in the mornings and start out with God and pray and have a time of prayer when we can ask the Lord to help us through the day, help us to deal with this matter of sin and to keep sin pushed down in our lives. But we see there's certain things in this life, hey, that we know are clearly opposed to God and His righteousness. Hey, we know they're bad and we know they're harmful. We know they're sinful to hunger and thirst after a righteousness is to avoid these things at all costs. There are just some things that we're to avoid, to stay away from them, hey, to seek the righteousness of God on a regular basis. But we find a sincere and legitimate pursuit of righteousness goes beyond avoiding what is clearly and unmistakably sinful. Hey, it also involves avoiding those things that tend to dull or take the edge off of our spiritual appetite. And I'm going to tell you, hey, when a person allows sin to get in their life, they begin to walk around it. They begin to walk next to it. They begin to get too close to it. I'm going to tell you, it'll take the edge off of your spiritual appetite for the things of God. Hey, that's how a lot of people, they get out of church. They get to hungering for the things of the world. They get to dabbling around with the world. And the next thing you know, hey, it's took the edge off of their spiritual appetite, hey, for the house of God, for the things of God, hey, for that relationship to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, where they can deal with sin. I'm going to tell you, the colder you get, hey, the easier it is to neglect your spiritual inner man, and the easier it is to allow this flesh to take over and to control it. And Paul talked over in Galatians about walking in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, seeking righteousness, walking and trying to do the things that are right, that's pleasing to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul writing again to the Corinthian believers said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 23 said, "All things are lawful for me, hey, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." He's what he's saying here, that a lot of things are not beneficial to his life. It may be okay to do some of those things, hey, but they're not gonna be profitable in your spiritual walk with God. Those things that are not expressly denied in the Word of God, hey, they might be, you might have the liberty to do some of those things, but some of them are not expedient. They're not profitable to your walk with God. And they'll get an individual cold and indifferent and out of the will of God. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, again, hey, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm glad this evening that God's given us a race to run. Hey, He wants us to be in that race. He don't want us to fall out. And I've said this a lot of times, I think everybody's got a besetting sin. I believe there's something that was in every individual's life before they got saved, that temptation, hey, that just still that they're faced with on a regular basis. I've seen some good men of God, and I've told y'all this before, I've seen some good men of God, hey, that got saved and they had a drug problem back before they ever trusted Christ as their Savior, back in their sinful days. And then they get in pain and maybe surgeries and things, and they get to taking painkillers, and the next thing you know, they're on them again. And I've seen those that had gone so far as to take other people's pain medicine and get it out of the bottle, go pick it up for them and take it out of the bottle and keep in their medicine. That temptation is so strong. You say, "It'll never happen to me." Hey, we don't need to never say never. Everybody's got a besetting sin. It may be drinking. I mean, someone might have had a problem with drinking. Hey, if so, you need to stay away from drinking. You need to stay away from where it's going on. I mean, I heard a story one time that this man, he knew where the bar was, that he got saved. But before he got saved, he frequented it all the time. And to go home, he'd have to walk way around, and he wouldn't even go by there because he wouldn't take that chance of that temptation drawing him back into that bar. And a lot of times people have temptations like that, and it's a besetting sin that we have to deal with. Hey, there's a lot of things that are weights that might not necessarily be wrong. Hey, but if we're weak in our faith, then it might go against righteousness. Things may have a little gray tint to it or something, but it might not be specifically wrong, but it might be a weight that will drag you down. It'll defeat you in your walk with God. In verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we see thirdly and lastly, we see a divine promise. The promise here given to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they will be filled. I mean, I believe if an individual really gets the desire to be filled with the Spirit of God, you can be filled with the Spirit. Getting filled is not some mystical thing. It's just emptying yourself of yourself, your flesh, and the things that you desire, and desiring to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible said, be not drunk on wine. Where does it say? But be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Hey, there ought to be a desire. There ought to be a desire to be filled with righteousness and doing what's right in this world. And that's basically what righteousness is, I think, is just doing what's right, what you know's right, at a time when maybe you don't feel like doing it, but you go ahead and you do right. And so we see the promises is given. If you follow them, as one of them being hungry and thirsting after righteousness, you'll be filled. Hey, that's a promise that God's given us. You can't read this Bible and with a desire, hey, to be filled with the Spirit of God, I believe, in a relationship and praying and walking with God on a regular basis and God not do what he said he'd do. And if he's told us that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, we can be filled. I believe they should be satisfied as a hungry man is when he's supplied with food. You ever got real hungry and you go to somewhere and you eat and you get some. Sometimes you eat and you know you don't get satisfied. You eat a lot and you might get full, but you just don't get satisfied because you ain't eating the right thing. We talk about that all the time. Sometimes I'll eat things and it's okay, but it just don't satisfy me. And sometimes that's the way you are spiritually. Sometimes when you ain't hungry as you should be and you go, hey, you just don't get satisfied to the extent that you feel like you should. But I'm glad, hey, when we get real hungry and we get real thirsty for God and for God's Spirit to work in our lives and to see something, see God do something, hey, I believe we're getting on pretty good ground to get filled. So we see a divine promise to be filled and then to be filled with righteousness. Proverbs 21:21 again, he said, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. So if you follow after righteousness, hey, you're going to get filled. You're going to find real life. Hey, this world thinks they're living it up tonight. They're participating in all kinds of immorality, evil, wicked things today that we see. But there's no joy, there's no happiness in their life. Hey, but I'm glad that when we follow after righteousness, just as Proverbs tells us here, that we follow after righteousness and mercy, we'll find life. We'll find real life, a life that'll satisfy. Hey, a life that'll be pleasing to God. A life that'll bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through this walk of life. He said, findeth life and righteousness and honor. I tell you, it's always right to do right. Bob Jones Sr., I believe it was, said, if the stars fall out of their silvery sockets, a man ought to do right. And he said, it ain't never right to do wrong, to do right. So, we need to do right, and we need to do right righteousness and walk in righteousness and to be pleasing with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This afternoon, those that do follow after righteousness shall find righteousness. That, I don't believe that you can follow after righteousness and not find it. I mean, you stay around where there's righteousness, you'll find some righteousness to walk in and to live in. God will give grace to do good, and they shall have the pleasure and comfort of doing it. I believe God will give you the pleasure of doing right when you get to that point in place where you desire it more than anything. So I believe this evening the individual that follows after righteousness and mercy finds not only righteousness, but also life and honor, which is more than he is said to follow after. I'm glad this evening there's a promise of following after righteousness. If you want a good life, follow after righteousness. You want satisfaction in your life? This world is looking for peace. Hey, there's no peace outside of walking in righteousness and living for the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon. The pursuit of righteousness. That ought to be the desire of each and every one of us this evening that's saved by the graces of God, is to enjoy that righteousness that God has promised that we can have.